The Providence Journal presents Nick and Bob, the college basketball podcast for Rhode Island and around the nation, with your hosts, Kevin McNamara and Bill Koch.
Hello and welcome to the Providence Journal's Pick and Pop podcast. This is Kevin McNamara here in Providence with my cohort, Bill Koch. Bill, welcome to the preview edition of the Pick and Pop podcast.
And we're here, Kevin. We made it.
A lot of peas. It's awful. It's early in the season. I haven't mastered it, but quite a few podcasts to come, so I'm sure we'll get it down quickly enough.
It's preseason.
You have faith in me, right?
Of course I do. It's preseason for us as well, folks. Bear with us. We're still working on free throws and getting our defensive rotation set, too, here in the studio.
It is preview week here at the Journal. We're going to preview on this podcast the Providence Friars and the Brown Bears. And on Thursday of this week, we'll take a deep look into the Rhode Island Rams and the Bryant Bulldogs. We'll start first with the Friars, Bill. It's been an interesting few weeks for PC. They've really benefited, I think, by the ability to play three different exhibition games, so we've had three public looks at the Friars, and I feel as if I might know too much about them heading into the season opener on Friday at Alumni Hall against Houston Baptist. And strangely enough, pretty much what my story will say in Wednesday's paper is, you would think that a team with so many returnees, picked pretty high in the Big East, fourth by the coaches, there'd be more answers than questions, but I think it's the other way around, and that's mainly due to the absence of Emmett Holt.
Yeah, as we've talked about before, that's a huge loss for Providence. You're talking about a guy who was second on the team in scoring last year, second on the team in rebounding last year. Big, strong, physical forward who can step out and make a shot. A very key piece for them, and we continue to wish Emmett the best, trying to get back to 100% health here. Irregardless of his basketball future, we wish him the best in terms of quality of life. But from a college basketball perspective, when you lose a senior, a multidimensional player like that, it doesn't matter how much talent you have around him, it is going to make an impact.
Yeah, and really what's, obviously it's Ed Cooley has called him our heart and soul, and that really comes out when you watch them play, because instead of playing with a multi-dimensional big guy who can spot up at the three-point line, he can run the pick and roll at the top of the key, truly can do a little bit of everything. He's more of a forward than a center, undersized center. And you replace them with two low post players, Khalif Young and Nate Watson, are both impressive young prospects who have a long way to go, but they're going to get thrown right into it. But more importantly, they can't play the way that Emmett Holt played. They're low post players. They can be screeners at the top of a key. But, hey, this is the Pick and Pop podcast. They are not threats to pick, pop, and shoot three-pointers like Emmett Holt was.
Well, and what this is going to do is put more pressure on the shoulders of Rodney Bullock. For me, Providence's best player, most explosive player, most capable of having a 20-point night against an elite opponent. But we saw at times last year, whereas Emmett Holt was fairly consistent unless he was in foul trouble,
right,
Rodney Bullock could disappear in some games. And as a senior, especially a guy who has played so much and who is so old, he cannot afford to do that this year if Providence is going to be successful.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at Providence, they returned two second-team All-League players in Bullock and Kyron Cartwright. Kyron Cartwright was the most improved player in the Big East last year as a junior, kind of came out of nowhere, ended up finishing the top five in the country in assists, obviously a super key piece. I think he's now the most important player that the Friars have, because if he plays at the tempo that suits him, Providence becomes a very difficult team to play with, because he plays at a fast tempo, and Providence doesn't have to grind things out in the half court as much. And really rely on, not having Emmett Holt. They can do things in transition. So you have those two guys. Jalen Lindsey is a third senior. He's been hobbled by a knee injury throughout training camp here, and he's not going to play Friday. I'd be very, very surprised if he plays Friday. They really need him for Monday's game when the Minnesota Golden Gophers come to town. I'm telling people that may be the best team that Providence plays all season. And to have them this early in the year, they're very fortunate to have it at home. Very difficult game. But to continue, the most impressive player in the preseason games, anyways, has been Alpha Diallo. taken a big jump from freshman to sophomore year. So those four guys, I think, are going to be the core of the team. All can score, all handle the ball well, multi-dimensional players. I think we'll see an awful lot of either Bullock or Diallo at the four, in that face-up four type role. That's really the crux of their team.
Well, with Lindsey sidelined for most of the preseason, Diallo's gotten a little more extended run in probably what's going to be his natural position going forward, whether that's the two or the three. And you can see the progress that he's made in 1 year. You're talking about a guy who has great length at 6'6", 6'7". Very similar to Jalen Lindsey in terms of height, but I think he's much more fluid in terms of body type, in terms of being able to put the ball
on the floor,
and being able to get to the rim. I think he is a higher upside player, going into his junior, senior year than Jalen Lindsey is right now. And I think we've seen that come out here, very early on, in particular against Baruch College the other day. I know Kevin, in that exhibition, Alpha Diallo showed very well. And if Jalen Lindsey is going to be out or, have his minutes restricted here in the early going, you're right. Diallo is going to have to assert himself early on. And the fortunate thing you have for Providence is that he played a lot last year as a freshman, so none of this is going to be too big for him at any point.
No question. He definitely seems ready to take that, again, that big sophomore jump. Another key player for the Friars is Isaiah Jackson, the transfer from George Mason, who really progressed nicely last year. By the end of the year, he was, if not the best defensive player Providence had, he was really close, and he was also making some threes, kind of doing a little bit of everything, as Bill Koch would say, the Swiss Army knife of the Friars.
Do I say that?
You do.
Okay.
Always at opportune times, though.
Okay.
I've never disagreed with your use of the term. And Isaiah certainly is that guy this year, ready to start, ready to play the opposing team's top scorer. Very important player, 22 years old as a redshirt junior. He's a man, as they say, a really valuable piece. And then you look at inside. Khalif Young has started all three games. Again, I like Khalif Young. I like Nate Watson. They're just young players, and they're going to have to grow up really quick.
I'm with you on that. In terms of Khalif Young especially, he's got nice soft hands. He can finish around the rim. At times last year, he ran the floor, which as a big body guy, you might be a little bit surprised at. A guy who's 255, picking him up and putting him down like he can. But going back to what you said earlier about Kyron Cartwright, if this team is going to have to play a little smaller without Emmett Holt, and we think that they are going to be without him for an extended period, if not for the whole year, Kyron Cartwright is the ideal guard to have on your team to be able to push the ball. One of the leading assist men in the country last year. And a guy who might be able to assert himself and make a few more shots this season. I look at this, Kevin. He only tried 83s last year, but he shot almost 39%.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that, if Ed Cooley had his way, if Kyron Cartwright found himself with a few open threes in transition this year, I don't think he'd object to his senior point guard trying to put it up and score a little bit more.
No, and I think Kyron's also going to benefit because he's definitely going to play with Makai Ashton-Langford, a freshman, highly touted freshman who's definitely going to play a lot. Between Langford and Nate Watson, those two freshmen will see an awful lot of time right out of the chute. And, that'll free up some ball handling duties away from Kyron, and he will become more of a scorer role when those two are together. I know that you've seen Makai as well. He's been better than I thought, in all honesty. He's not a good outside shooter. You don't want that to be his bread and butter, and yet he's made threes in these preseason games, but really shown an ability to get to the rim and score and just give Providence. Yeah, I think he had 20, as a matter of fact, against Carleton, which is a very good team. So he's shown the ability already to be able to play with Cartwright and also be able to handle the ball a little bit as a point guard. And very, multiple ball handlers, that's the way college basketball is turning.
And you're starting to see, I think, with this class in particular, with Nate Watson and, with Makai Ashton-Langford, and then next year with David Duke and A.J. Reeves, you're really starting to see sort of that recruiting bedrock year in and year out, the sort of talent that Ed Cooley is going to be able to bring in. Before he had some mitts, he had some hits, he had some misses. I think you're going to see more consistent returns, though, going forward now, because he's got that practice facility to sell, which is a huge, huge enhancement for Providence. You know, Ed's not going anywhere. His contract is set for a long time. He wants for nothing at Providence. He's really built a monster here, a sustainable year-in and year-out program that's looking to go to its fifth straight NCAA tournament. I think generally when I evaluate programs within their respective conferences, I look at where they should be when they're operating at the maximum. Georgetown is not, obviously.
Right.
Somebody like Butler in the last few years probably is. I think Providence at this point right now is operating at its maximum.
Well, it's you know, that's a true macro conversation that we'll hit here a little bit. I agree with you, but I think they have underachieved to some extent in the tournament. But you know, I think what you and I would both agree on is the tournament is a true crapshoot for a program like Providence. The matchup is just vital, and you know, to run into North Carolina twice was, you know, North Carolina should beat Providence every single year, and they did. And then to run up against Southern Cal last year in a play-in game, Southern Cal was a Sweet 16 level talent team. They were just underseeded. So I think Providence, I agree, is running at a very high level right now. But I do think that they have more upside because they should be able to keep accumulating, you know, better talent.
Well, and the tournament is where you see sort of pros take over. You know,
no question.
It's either senior laden teams or it's pros. You know, look at that USC team. I mean, they're going to have multiple first round picks on that team.
They have a few, no question.
You know, they were outstanding. I know you were,
and they're all come, and they're all back,
and they're all back. I know you were out in Dayton and saw those guys firsthand. They were very impressive. But that's the caliber of player that Ed Cooley is recruiting now. You look at Mekhi Ashton Langford, who's a top 50 recruit. Nate Watson, who's a 4-star recruit.
Diallo. Yep.
A.J. Reeves and David Duke, who are both fringe top 50 recruits. These long-rangey, projectable guards. Those are the type of guys who, when you match up with these Power 5 schools in the tournament, those are the type of guys who can go out there and win you a game. And I think that's sort of the territory that Providence is really starting to infringe on now.
Another really important part of Providence's story right now is their schedule. Their early season schedule, especially really early, as in the first 3 weeks of the season, is very difficult. Again, this schedule was built in the offseason, assuming Emmett Holt was around and assuming 100% health. And to not have Holt, and who knows how long Lindsay is out, it's going to be a real challenge for Providence that they have to be able to get through between now and Thanksgiving in one piece. After opening against Houston Baptist, which I will say, Bill, I'm looking forward to seeing a game at Alumni Hall.
That's going to be cool, right?
Yeah, it really has. There was an exhibition game maybe, I don't know, six, seven. Actually, I think Ed Cooley's first year, now that I think about it, against, you know, Assumption or Stonehill.
Probably Stonehill because that's Ed's alma mater.
Good point. So that was pretty cool. But this is the first regular season game since the Civic Center opened, since 1972. And, you know, Houston Baptist is, you know, who knows what they have, but it'll be interesting.
And we've seen the Interscholastic League has played, you know, boys basketball playoff games and girls basketball playoff games at Alumni Hall. You know, not the same interest level that Providence's season ticket base would have, but it rocks in there. It's pretty full. It's a good venue.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be loud. Obviously, super sold out. Unfortunately, they only had so many tickets to give, not only forget about season ticket holders, but to the students. Believe me, the student body itself would fill three-quarters of the place.
No question.
They're not allowed in those numbers anyways. But then they will host Minnesota and then go to the 2K Classic at the Madison Square Garden and face a Washington team that's picked low in the Pac-12, but they have guys. That's no easy out. If they win, they'll probably end up playing Virginia Tech, which faces St. Louis. And then they come home again and play Belmont, who's, we know Belmont, perennial NCAA team, and then Boston College. Now, the good news is three of those five games are at the Dunkin' Donuts Center, but they're all losable games. That five-game stretch is really, really important for the Friars.
No, it's going to be a tough start. You're looking at Minnesota that second game. Nate Mason is one of the best guards in the Big Ten, if not in the country. You know, matching up with him, they're going to have their hands full. And then any sort of neutral court game against a Pac-12 team, I don't care if Washington is picked low, Kevin. I remember you saying all last year, because you're an NBA guy and a draft guy to an extent.
Yeah.
You look at the draft boards and the talent that comes out of that league. It's fantastic. You know, and then going forward, you're playing some really good, you know, just outside of the Power 5 teams, whether it be Belmont, you know, whether it be Stony Brook, who's a decent team every year. Houston's a very dangerous team in the American this year.
Right.
And then, you know, you play Sacred Heart and you jump into Big East play, you know, that crucible, those 18 games, and we know how difficult that can be.
And we also forgot to mention a game on December 2nd at Rhode Island. That's probably going to be a difficult game for the Friars as well.
I think we're going to have a separate podcast on that one.
Yes, and with that, I'm sure Friar fans are excited about the season, and we are too. And again, they get going on Friday night at 7 o'clock against Houston Baptist. If you don't have your ticket for Alumni Hall, don't bother calling. It's not going to happen. Wait till Monday and you can get in and see the Golden Gophers and Richard Pitino and the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Not much has been going on in that household this offseason, has there, Kevin?
It's been a quiet couple months with the Pitinos, so we'll see. We're going to transition here to the Ivy League and the Brown Bears. Brown is coming off a 13-17 overall season, 4-10 in the Ivies. And, you know, if you don't have a roster when you show up to the Brown Bear games, you're going to have a little trouble because you'll recognize a few guys, but Mike Martin's really excited about his newcomers, and we're going to hit them a little bit, Bill, first here as we get into the Bears. Really going to lose Steven Spieth, Tavon Blackman, four-year, really important, productive guys, but you know, that's college basketball. You have to be able to replenish your roster, and Mike's really happy with his newcomers. I know you're aware of that.
He's got a big freshman class here. Matt DeWolf, the Barrington native, is one of those players. Tamanang Cho, who plays for the Mass Rivals, is another one of those players. It's the same program that produced David Duke, A.J. Reeves, Makai Ashton-Lankford. I know that they're really excited about you know, a couple other newcomers here. Desmond Cambridge,
yes,
who's a 6'4 freshman out of Tennessee, scoring guard who could help them right away.
The other is Zach
And Hunsaker. Then Zach Hunsaker, who's a sophomore who's been voted a captain of this team. He's an older guy. He's out of a junior college in Utah. He's a 4.0 student. Normally when we say junior college, you think spotty transcripts and questionable high schools, but
yeah.
Zach Hunsaker is not that kind of guy, and he's going to help them immediately in the backcourt as well.
Yeah, I think he's the guy who will take over for Blackman and run the team. He went on a Mormon mission. He's 21, 22 years old, really mature, knows how to play. Son of a kind of famous coach, Dick Hunsaker, who was a Division I coach for many years.
Oh, sure.
Out west. Really important player, and I know Mike Martin's really excited about his potential, especially because he has 3 years to go. You know, you always love those 24, 25-year-old point guards, especially, who can play.
That tends to be good.
Yes. But Cambridge, Cho, Hunsaker, and hopefully Matt DeWolf, because Brown doesn't have a lot of great size, I think all four will see extensive time. The returnees to get excited about, clearly, Obi Okoli. Unfortunately, he has a foot injury right now. He won't be ready to go when Brown opens on a Saturday when they host Johnson and Wales, and then go on the road, I believe, Monday at Quinnipiac.
Quinnipiac, correct.
Yeah. You know, so they need to get Obi back. I think they'd really be happy to get him back by Thanksgiving. So, you know, they're going to miss him. He was their leading returning scorer and probably their leading returning overall player. The other two who clearly are ready to go and really important players are sophomores Josh Howard and Brandon Anderson, two guys who really made an impact as freshmen last year.
Yeah, Josh Howard, you know, really has a nose for the offensive glass. That jumped out to me last season. He's the son of Juwan Howard, the former Michigan great. You know, I think he has nice touch inside. I looked for him to score it a little bit more this year. And Brandon Anderson, in particular against URI last year, really gave them a problem. You know, Brandon Anderson can run a team. He's a tough guy. You know, not a lot of size. They list him at 6'1". That's probably a lie. You know, but
no, it's called generous, not a lie.
Okay.
Yes.
I was a little more harsh than
okay.
you. But he can get places off the bounce, which, you know, Mike Martin wants to spread the floor. You know, he wants to create driving lanes. He wants to be able to shoot the ball. Brandon Anderson is the perfect sort of guy to play in his system. And I think at times last year, you saw him assert himself very nicely as a freshman.
The big change with Brown needs to come on the defensive end. In the Ivy League last year, they let up 79 points a game on 52% field goal shooting. let up teams, you know, scoring in the high 80s and 90s a few times, and to the point where Mike Martin would just shake his head walking off the court. He knows that needs to change. The Brown is definitely bigger and longer and more athletic, and that really comes through with Obi Okoli, Desmond Cambridge, and Cho, the freshman from Lowell, Mass. Really important players. Brown always has a very difficult early season schedule. That is the case once again with one, two, three. I think it's five of the first seven on the road. Quinnipiac, St. Francis, Brooklyn, Stony Brook, Bryant, Rhode Island. And as Mike said, we kind of planning on playing three top 25 teams in Providence, Rhode Island, and they also go out to Northwestern. So it is a difficult non-conference schedule.
No, you're right. They got some tough ones here. Quinnipiac with new coach Baker Dunleavy, who's coming out of Villanova's system. LIU Brooklyn, which is a new home of Derek Kellogg, the former UMass coach.
Oh, yes.
You know, and Brown obviously plays all three in-state teams as well, with Bryant, Providence, and URI. And I know, you know, Mike Martin was very excited about getting Northwestern on the schedule. That's a game, you know, where Brown has a significant amount of alumni in the Chicago area. You know, that's a kind of game that they can draw some people to. You know, it's going to draw some interest among the Bears community. You know, then they play one last one against NJIT and jump right into the Ivies.
That Northwestern series, I think, is ending. If you remember, they came into the Pizzatola Center a few years ago, and then it's been 2 years in a row out in Chicago. I call it the Sullivan series. There's another Sullivan on the Brown team, Chris Sullivan. He's the third of the brothers from Wilmette, Illinois. One of their better defensive players. Would be amiss if we don't mention Chris, and also Jason Massey. Jason didn't play last year. He started, I believe, 11 games 2 years ago. He chose not to play last year, but he's back. He could be a 20-minute guy off the bench as well. And, you know, again, as you know, Bill, those upperclassmen are really important.
Yep. You also look at Travis Fuller, you know, junior. He can rebound it a little bit, and he's from one of the most beautiful parts in the country, in Encinitas, California, which is a suburb of San Diego.
Probably will start for the Bears at center, especially when they need to go big in these non-conference games. So just a little on the Ivy League. All we can say is we know Harvard's loaded, and yet in the Blue Ribbon yearbook, which I have in my hands right now, Yale's picked first, Princeton second, Harvard third. So that just shows how deep the Ivy League is. Once again, it's really the most vastly improved conference, I think, in the last 5 years in the country.
Well, Yale welcomes back Mekhi Mason, who sat out last year with a broken foot. He electrified the Dunkin' Donuts Center a couple of years ago in the NCAA tournament with the upset of Baylor. He was probably the best player on the floor in that game. They also have a sophomore back, Mie Oni, who's, you know, good, long, athletic shooter, 6'6". You know, was one of the best freshmen in the league last year. You know, and James Jones is just an excellent coach. He really has it going right now with the Bulldogs.
Yep, and Harvard, we know what Harvard has. You know, Bryce Aiken is one of the better guards in the league, and up front they have NBA size, and now those freshmen, Seth Towns, a few other guys, are now sophomores, so they're just going to keep getting better. And Tommy Emmerker, I still say, has the best talent in the league. We'll see if they can cash it through. Brown is picked to finish eighth by the coaches and media, seventh or eighth in most prognostications. Finished tied for last year with Cornell and Dartmouth. But as Martin said, you know, two-game swing, and they go to the Palestra in the playoffs. You know, it only took six wins to get to the postseason.
Well, I mean, in those preseason predictions, what do we know?
Yeah.
Right, Kevin?
Well, I mean, we know a lot. The coaches don't know much because they only worry about their own teams.
See, you must be reading different emails on a Monday morning than I am, because I am constantly told that I know nothing about anything.
Well, I spike those quickly. You know,
So you're telling me I need to get a little thicker skin,
yes,
perhaps.
Yes, you do. Just, you know, hit delete.
I think
delete
you're probably
quicker.
Right. You're probably right.
So that is it. We will be back actually tomorrow with the next Pick and Pop podcast, where we will look at the Rhode Island Rams and the Bryant Bulldogs.